Hey everyone, it's Rich Bennett, host of Conversations with Rich Bennett, bringing you an exciting chance to win with our latest giveaway sponsored by Tar Heel Construction Group. Get ready to make a splash just by tuning in to the podcast. Yes, you heard that right. While you're soaking up our latest episodes, listen closely for a special splash sound. When you hear it, remember the episode name. Here's what you do next. Shoot us an email at podcast@harfordcountyliving.com with the episode title. Each splash sound means a new chance to win. So the more you listen, the better your chances. If you don't have email, then just leave a voicemail from our website at conversationswithrichbennett.com. What's the prize? How about a brand new waterproof Bluetooth speaker? Perfect for listening to our episodes, whether you're in the bath, on the beach, in the pool, or on the go. You have until the end of May to send in your entries, and we'll announce the lucky winner on June 3rd. Don't miss out on this splashy opportunity brought to you by Tar Heel Construction Group. Dive into our episodes and win big. On this episode of Conversations with Rich Bennett.
So every time someone calls our program and they want to have a colonoscopy, I say, make sure you have somebody that can drive you home. Our program actually has it's Comfort Keepers. Mm-hmm. They are an organization that we have a contract with, and they are available to drive our patients home and stay with them during the colonoscopy. Well, stay in the waiting room while they're having the colonoscopy, and they'll drive them home and make sure that they're feeling well enough. They'll stay, I believe, 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hours after.
Really?
Yeah. And when it's time. Yep. Yeah. So we have that available too, but for the normal public that doesn't use us.
Yeah, because it's really unfortunate. There are a lot of people, which is makes me sad, but there are a lot of people who don't have anybody that are able to take them. And you can't take an Uber or a Lyft to this because you cannot, I mean, legally, they cannot give you anesthesia without someone being present. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing too. You can't just drop someone off and then have them call you when they're done. It doesn't work that way either. No. You need to be physically there.
Coming to you from the Freedom Federal Credit Union Studios, Harford County Living presents Conversations with Rich Bennett.
Come on.
You're faster than me.
Guys.
Hey,
that was quick.
We've been together.
24 and 13. Oh, man, you already said it. I was going to ask her if she remembered the date.
So I'm sitting here today at the Harford County Health Department, and I can't believe it's been 2 years since we've talked about this, but March is colorectal awareness month. Is that right? Taking it right? Colorectal cancer awareness month. Man.
It is.
So that's why we call it CRC.
Anybody listening wouldn't know what I was talking about.
I can't say that.
So we're going to go around the table, starting in my immediate left, and let everybody introduce themselves.
All right. I'm Sarah Will. I am the communication specialist here at the Harford County Health Department.
And hi, I'm Carrie Schnaufer, and I am the office supervisor for the cancer prevention program in Harford County.
Hi, I'm Megan Kasem, and I'm the nurse case manager for the Harford County Health Department cancer prevention program.
I want to just start off right away. Why March? I mean, being colorectal cancer awareness month.
Why not?
I think they just chose that.
See, that was the perfect answer. Well, no, I'm glad. At least it's not October. When everything else is.
Correct.
Because it would just.
It's too much.
It would have gotten from,
I guess it's own recognition.
About.
It's important too. I mean, colon cancer is.
It's no joke.
No, it's not. It's one of the lead it.
Yeah, it's the third leading cause of death for males and the fourth leading cause of death for females.
I didn't realize it was fourth for females.
Yeah. And it's totally, and it's treatable and preventable by getting your screenings.
Now, it's hereditary too, isn't it?
There are hereditary risk factors, but there's also risk factors that you can control.
Okay. So
Well, I know they said, what, 50s when you should start getting
45.
Checked? Oh, 45.
They moved it down because okay. They found that a polyp takes about 10 years to develop into cancer. And so they decided that the earlier, the better. Mm-hmm. So screening should start at age 45.
But what if it runs in your family? Should it start earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
If you have Crohn's disease, colitis, or there's a list of hereditary diseases as well that you do start early, as well as if you're having symptoms, you should have a colonoscopy. So we'll screen people who are in their 20s. And I'm sure they do pediatric screenings at pediatric hospitals if they're having, yeah.
Well,
it's very uncommon for kids to have colon cancer, but
right. It has happened, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I don't know the statistics for it, but yeah.
So what are the symptoms then?
So the symptoms that you can have for colon cancer, you want to see if you have unexpected weight loss, tiredness, unexplained tiredness and fatigue, change in bowel habits, rectal bleeding, ongoing stomach discomfort, cramps, gas, pain that doesn't get resolved in a few days. If you feel like your bowels aren't emptying after you go to the bathroom, like you still have to go.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, because I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but when it comes to bowel movements, it should be at least once a day, right? I would think.
Yeah. So, I mean, what happens is if you don't go, then it just keeps building up. Right. And then it's harder to go because right. The amount that needs to come out doesn't really fit through. So,
okay. So
you want to make sure that you have a healthy diet that has mm-hmm. fiber, lots of fruits and vegetables, and that's going to keep things regular. If you have a staying constipated and not going can cause toxins to build up. And that is also can be a risk factor for people who, you know, going regularly is really important for your health to get rid of that's what happens when you go to the bathroom. So you're getting rid of what your body doesn't need.
Yeah. So you're correct. At least, once a day.
Right.
Some people twice a day.
And look at it because that's going to determine a lot too. I know it sounds gross, but it's true. That's going to determine a lot.
Well, it's going to determine if there's blood in your stool. You're
right.
There could be You should know when you're wiping,
mm-hmm.
but you should look. If it's runny, if it's black, if it's tarry looking, if it's, there's a couple different things.
A lot of gray, I think.
Yeah. Like you want,
but all those symptoms can also be attributed to other things.
Yeah, but it's still important to know too.
Well, you should see any change in bowel habits. You should definitely see a gastroenterologist.
Right.
And even with being constipated, you should see. And we have a fabulous Hartford gastroenterologist in Hartford County. They're near Abingdon.
Mm-hmm.
That's who our program uses. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they are fabulous. I've never had a patient complain. They are so amazing.
I think I know who you're talking about. And they are awesome.
Yeah, they are awesome. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
You said something. All right. What's the term?
Gastroenterologist.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Because I've gotten into arguments with people about this because they said, oh, no, that's, I shouldn't, I don't, that's for gas, not for your colon. I said, no, that is for, me and my brother argued about this all the time. A doctor telling me I should go see a gas, whatever thing. I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have gas. I can't go to the bathroom. I say, well, that's why you need to go.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So there is no other type of doctor.
That's your stomach doctor.
Yeah, okay.
That's they're the people you go to if you're having any stomach issues, bathroom issues. They're stomach people.
Okay.
Just think of a gastroenterologist as the stomach people.
See, you're laughing at me, Sarah, but there are people that think that way.
Okay.
There are. And people are. I don't know if it's because they're scared or just stubborn or just.
Or don't understand don't have a clue. Why they're called a gastroenterologist as opposed to going to see
a pulmonologist.
Proctologist.
Yes, thank you. That was the other one I couldn't think of.
They're not very common.
So when it comes to diet, because I know, there's definitely some things you should eat, but isn't there a lot of things you stay away from as well?
Yes. Yes. So the risk factors for your diet are processed meats, cooking in high temperature. Cooking grill. Yep. Broiling. Everything in moderation, but if you're eating red meat every single day, then you might be a problem.
Not just for your cholesterol, but yes, it's a risk factor for colorectal cancer. Diet's low in vitamin D and grilling. So everything in moderation, I know. I didn't make these up. kill the messenger.
Wait, but what do you mean grilling?
The high temperatures change the food that you're eating. And that...
Okay, direct grilling, but not like smoking, where it's low and slow.
Smoking also.
Oh, come on. No, not smoking cigarettes. Smoking.
Yes, because you're changing the natural composition of the food.
Megan, you're killing me here.
Sorry, it's a chemistry thing. It's the chemistry that
so
you're
how
changing.
How are you supposed to cook food then?
You can grill. You can do that in moderation. How are you supposed to cook food?
Explain baked, moderation.
Baked chicken. Baked chicken.
It's grilling for red meat. So it changes the way the way it's digestible.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that either.
It causes carcinogens and...
Well, yeah, because it causes
it changes the chemical...
What's the black stuff? The char. That's...
Oh, yeah.
Cancer.
It's a carcinogen. Yeah.
So, you can still have red... I mean, you can still have red meat. You just sit and grill 7 days a week and have a steak.
Oh, okay. So other things it's okay to grill. Or no. Because,
you want to remember everything in moderation. So if you're cooking your food at high temperatures, every single meal, that's going to be a carcinogen. Mm-hmm. That is a risk factor for colon cancer. It doesn't mean that if you do that, you're going to have, just like people have been smoking 50, 60 years, that's a risk factor for cancer, but doesn't mean they're going to get it. So it's the same thing. It's just, these are risk factors that if you continue this kind of lifestyle, you'll have a higher chance of having colon cancer than somebody who eats baked chicken.
All right. So now you got to be worried here. And I don't know if you can answer this or not. What about air fryers? Because that's still at high heat.
Oh, my God.
It says, studies show HCAs and PAHs cause changes in DNA that may increase the risk of cancer. HCAs develop in meat when amino acids react to high heat. Right, time is your enemy. The amount of HCAs increases the longer meat is exposed to heat.
So high, cooking your food at high temperatures.
So then someone's going to ask, what about if you have a rare steak that you grill and sear?
Then you might not have colon cancer, but you might have food poisoning.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people eat rare meat. A lot of people. I mean, there's people who will only eat steaks rare. I mean, it's a sin if you cook it any longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want it like a hockey puck.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. I eat lots of grilled and fried. So,
we're not sitting here saying we don't do any of this. These are just the risk factors.
But in moderation, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Megan said, processed meat. I eat hot dogs every day.
That's the big one that I think people need to be careful of is processed meats.
Processed meat.
Hot dogs, lunch meat.
Right. So
be careful of the foods that you're eating that have been changed in their molecular form because that causes.
Get fresh meat.
And cook it, bake it.
But it's interesting. I don't know about the air fryer. That's a good question because it's not exposed for a long time.
Right.
Because when you're air frying, it's high temp, but shorter time.
But not that much shorter.
Well, it's pretty, my air fryer, it's 400 degrees for, 12 minutes.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and if you're going to put wings on the grill, it takes longer than 12 minutes. Yeah.
But I guess the air fryer works the same way as, your convection oven.
Yeah, it's similar, I think. I think it's just the heat.
I think it's the high heat cooking. So if you cook something in a crock pot, and you have it cooking slow over a long period of time, then that's not going to change the chemistry of the meat.
So what about on the stovetop, a cast iron skillet or anything? That same way, I guess?
It's high temperature.
It's still high temperature. Wow.
I mean, you could cook stuff in a cast iron pan on low and medium. It's not your cookware. It's the temperature.
Cast iron's got to be hot. It's got to be steel. It's got to have that smoke coming up.
Yeah.
You could do it. Everything in moderation.
No, I'm just going to become a vegetarian. You know, some salad now. Thanks. You just ruined everything for me. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, I think we discussed this the last time because, yeah, I was like, you're going all my grilling days. But if you do it in moderation, that's the key.
Yeah, thing. Everything. Yeah.
I don't know of anybody that grills every day.
I mean, that's just one of the risk factors. There's other risk factors that you can change, like your weight. Being overweight is a risk factor, a sedentary lifestyle. So if you are overweight and you have a sedentary lifestyle and you cook every meal at, you know, fried and high temperatures, that's low in vitamin D, and you smoke and you drink alcohol more than two a day, you're at very high risk of having
corn. Drinking that more than two alcoholic drinks per day. First of all, I think if you're drinking two a day, there may be a problem.
These risk factors, if you do all of those, I don't think colon cancer is your only risk factor.
Yeah.
There's a few, a lot of problems in there.
There's a few listening too. That doesn't mean that if you don't drink for 6 days, you can have 14 on that last day.
Well, it'll be 13 because it's two drinks per day. So if you have 13.
Two times seven is 14.
Oh, then you're under.
Yeah, then you're under. You want to stay under it. So that would be 13. You're just good if you have 13, but 14. To drive in there.
Really, you just want to be, you want to try and be as healthy as you can.
Yeah.
You want to make smart choices, try and have vegetables, protein, and a healthy carb at your meals, include fruit.
You want bulk things that are going to bulk up your poop and get it out. So
fiber.
But you want to have fruits, which also make it.
And stay away from shells. In other words, like sunflower seeds, because I know a lot of people swallow the shells. Peanuts, some people eat the shell.
Those are issues with diverticulitis, which is that those seeds can get stuck, and that's not colon cancer.
Definitely cause issues.
Yeah.
In your
colon. Infection intestine.
So what about, now I know with the health department, people come in, you get screened, get the colonoscopy. But now you have the box thing, too.
So there are other tests other than just having the colonoscopy. The gold standard is the colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. At Harford County Health Department, we only do colonoscopies because when people do the other tests, if they have a positive box test, they will end up having a colonoscopy anyway. And Harford Gastroenterology Associates prefers the colonoscopy, but if people are anxious about having the procedure done and it's whether do the genetic testing or the box testing versus not having it at all, there are tests that are done. And like I said, our program doesn't do it, but there are tests where they have you poop in a box and then they check it for, there's a one test that tests it for DNA that is positive for colon cancer. And then there's another one that tests for blood in your stool. So the DNA one is obviously the gold, like more practices in the, more physicians are using that one.
Yeah.
And normally that's something that you can get from your general practitioner.
And you got to do it once every 3 years, not 5 years.
It depends on what the results show.
Right.
And your risk factors as well. If you're at high risk, they're not going to say, they're going to want you to do the colonoscopy.
Right.
But if you're 45 and healthy and don't have a history of any type of polyps or any type of colon cancer, then they may start out that way as opposed to sending you for the colonoscopy.
Something else with the colonoscopy, because I know a lot of people are scared of it, getting it done. Can you explain to everybody how simple it is?
It takes 6 to 7 minutes normally.
It seems longer because
you're sleeping for it. You don't even know it's happening.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's happening. There's no pain involved. Right. You do have to have anesthesia and you have to just have clear liquids the day before. So the hardest part of having a colonoscopy is generally not being able to eat the day before, but you can drink. Like you can drink Gatorade and a whole bunch of, as long as the liquids, you know, are clear,
right,
milk and stuff. that's the hardest part for people. And then you still have to drink a bowel prep.
Yes. Okay, I was going to say, you still got to drink
the prep stuff,
right?
But they can't eat solid foods. Right. So that's the hardest part that I've heard people say. But then every single person says how easy it was. And one of the things that they don't say anything about pain, they just say that they were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, once you have the colonoscopy, it's really, really important that you rehydrate, because people think, because I just drank the day before, that I'll be fine, but it's going right through you.
Yeah.
So a lot of people kind of can feel crummy after having their colonoscopy because they have to replenish the fluids that they lost, that they right. don't realize they lost. So that's why when you hear celebrities fainted at like In-N-Out Burger after they got their colonoscopy, it's because they're hungry and they're not replenishing their fluids. So they should be.
Don't get a milkshake afterwards.
Yeah, drink lots of fluids after you have your colonoscopy.
Yeah, you know, some people have react differently to anesthesia. Mm-hmm. So that might make you feel, you know, anesthesia itself, I personally have a hard time with it. So I usually don't feel very good for, you know, I don't feel good for about 12 hours afterwards.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get a really bad headache and I can't rest. I'm tired, but I can't sleep. And I just don't feel good.
So what would they do in your case then?
I'd still have the anesthesia. I just wouldn't feel good. So you're not feeling, if you don't feel well, it's not because of the procedure itself. Like
right.
Megan said, it's because you're dehydrated or perhaps you, you know, don't react well to anesthesia. But
the best way to get the anesthesia out of your system is to drink fluids. That's what you need to do anyway.
Water. Yeah.
And you need to have someone drive you home from the colonoscopy. So every time someone calls our program and they want to have a colonoscopy, I say, make sure you have somebody that can drive you home. Our program actually has it's Comfort Keepers. Mm-hmm. They are an organization that we have a contract with, and they are available to drive our patients home and stay with them during the colonoscopy. Well, stay in the waiting room while they're having the colonoscopy, mm-hmm. and they'll drive them home and make sure that they're feeling well enough. They'll stay, I believe, 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hours after.
Really?
Yeah. And when it's so we have that available too, but for the normal public that doesn't use us.
Yeah, because it's really unfortunate. There are a lot of people, it makes me sad, but there are a lot of people who don't have anybody
right
that are able to take them. And you can't take an Uber or a Lyft mm-hmm. to this because you cannot, I mean, legally, they cannot give you anesthesia without someone being present.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing, too. You can't just drop someone off and then have them call you when they're done. It doesn't work that way either.
No.
You have to be physically there. But Megan worked hard on getting this contract, and now we're able to help more people because there are a lot of people who have had to cancel because they don't have a ride.
Yeah.
Or they don't have someone who can stay with them.
Right. And that's definitely a big problem.
And that's sad.
But that's good that you hooked up Comfort
Keepers.
Yeah,
they're great.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's new.
It's brand new. Okay.
Yeah, that was actually signed 2 months ago.
Wow.
Very new. Yeah.
You have been working hard. No, that's great. Comfort Keepers with a K, right?
C.
It is with a C.
Yeah, Comfort with a C and K with the Keepers.
Okay.
K with the Keepers.
They're local? They're here in Norfolk County? Or are they...
They're in, I believe, Baltimore County.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they service Harford County
as well.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. How'd you find out about them?
In an MD, a Maryland Department of Health nurse case manager meeting, I think Allegheny County was using them. So
okay.
They were saying how helpful they were with their program. So we just looked into it and we found the contact for Harford County.
So somebody needs to schedule
mm-hmm.
how they get in contact with you guys for a colonoscopy.
So they can call 410-942-7930 and we will get their information. Usually the way it works is we'll get the information and it'll be forwarded to Megan mm-hmm. and then Megan will reach out to the person and go over everything with them. We also offer, if English isn't your first language, it'd be very helpful if you know someone or someone wants to call who English is not their first language, if there's a way for them to communicate their name mm-hmm. and their phone number. So then we can in turn call them back with an interpreter and give them all the information.
We use the interpreter services quite frequently. And I mean, I even know the interpreter's names.
Wow.
So it's great. And then we also, so our program offers no cost colonoscopies for eligible Maryland residents. Well, also eligibility is financial, like, mm-hmm. so how much they make per year. And also they have to live in the state of Maryland. We'll also help people who have insurance, but have high deductibles and copays.
Right.
So we'll also assist mm-hmm. do that. And then we'll make their office visit appointments. We'll help them understand the process for the colonoscopy. And we'll set it all up for them and then get results letters. And then they're entered into a state database so that they'll be recalled when their next colonoscopy.
So you're with them the whole time.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm calling them to remind them of their office visit appointment. I'm making their appointment for them. I'm calling them before their colonoscopy, seeing if they have questions, reminding mm-hmm. that they can't eat anything and giving them suggested clear liquids. Then calling them and letting them know what the result of the colonoscopy is. And so they have a care team that's here to help them through the process.
How long have you been with the program now?
3 years? Yeah.
Only 3 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So within those 3 years, have you seen, besides Comfort Keepers, have you seen it grown a lot? For the better, in other words, and helping more people out.
I mean, when I came on, it was still COVID, so it's really hard to. I
forgot about that.
It's very easy to beat those numbers because they weren't doing screenings as much then. So I don't know, but we're
helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
No.
And in March,
No, it's okay. Yeah. We're helping a lot of people. And before I forget, you also asked about how to contact us or how to call or
right.
So I gave the phone number, but you can also go to the Harford County Health Department's website and go under our services. There's a little tab at the mm-hmm. top that says our services, and then you click on cancer prevention, and that has all of our information there. And there's also a link that will take you to a little form you fill out, and then that gets emailed to us, and then we call you. So it's super easy.
Yeah. Is there always an online form?
Sarah
created that.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Oh, okay. So 4 years ago. So it wasn't always there.
No, it's no.
It's past COVID.
Sarah, right around. Yeah, like right before COVID.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just really helpful. You don't have to worry about calling us. You don't have to worry about talking to anybody if you don't want to, right at that time. You just click on there and put your name and what you want. And
it's in Spanish, too.
Yes, there's also one in Spanish. I forgot. So that's super important that it's there and it's easy to find.
And there's Sarah made a QR code that you might see if you see our posters. We're actually doing a lot of promotional things for the month of March. So there's posters up, and we're also doing a giveaway for the month of March. At the end of March, we're going to do a random drawing of the people that filled out their interest forms. And they're going to get a prize at the end of March. We're going to pick someone randomly, and they'll get a basket of Harford County Health Department cancer prevention goodies.
Okay.
Including a t-shirt. socks and a hat and mug and
not a grill.
Not any products.
No hot dogs either. No.
That was funny.
So is there anything else that people need to know about that we may not have covered?
Oh, yeah. We do cover it. We pay from start to finish. So we pay for the initial doctor's visit that you have, because you have to go see the doctor first, mm-hmm. meet them. Then you would schedule your colonoscopy. We pay for the colon prep. So the stuff you drink before you go in, we cover that at the pharmacy, and then we cover the entire colonoscopy. So the charge for the facility fee, the anesthesia, the colonoscopy itself, and then any pathology or lab work that needs to be done if there's a polyp. So from start to finish, we cover.
Wow. And even the Comfort Keepers?
Yes. It's all covered. So as long as you qualify, which I will say the state of Maryland is doing much better by increasing that number.
Right.
So that if you are, before it was a very low amount that you had to make, mm-hmm. they've been increasing that quite a bit. So more people are also qualifying for the program, which is wonderful because It's expensive. Insurance is expensive. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of people who call and say, can you please help me? Because my deductible is so high, I can't afford to have this colonoscopy. And yeah,
that's good.
And we will help you.
Yeah. And the other thing is we work in the same office as the Medicaid providers here in Shepherd Grace.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're awesome. So if I have somebody that qualifies for Medicaid, but we need to get them in for a colonoscopy, but they might need to follow up for what they found, we work closely with them because the whole process can be overwhelming to then apply for insurance. They're fabulous here. And I mean, they've really helped several of our patients get insurance so that if they find some sort of cancer, they're able to have their insurance by the time they get to the oncology appointment.
Wow.
So we work really well together. And Sarah does an amazing job at like getting the promotional stuff out. So I think that we have a really good thing going.
Yeah.
And Carrie's awesome. I mean, we're a great team. It's really fun.
And we enjoy working together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we enjoy, you know, it's important that we can help people mm-hmm. who need it.
So how long have you been here now?
At least 3.5 years.
Okay.
I was with the health department prior to that, okay. But with cancer prevention for that.
What program were you with before?
Environmental health.
How in the world do you come from environmental health to this?
Well, this is what I mean, I want.
This is what you wanted to do.
This is what I want. I mean, in all honesty,
that's
I come.
A big switch, though.
No, I come from the medical field, but I wanted to get a job with the state of Maryland.
Okay, so why public health?
It's honestly,
yeah,
because I kept applying every month to every job I could to get in with the state of Maryland, and this is
what you wanted to
do. Better meant to be.
This is this where you want I got.
And you too, you as well.
Oh. No, my path here was crazy. Because I
was, oh, go ahead now. You got to share.
It's not that exciting. It's just
no. I mean, we were all in the health field prior to this.
Right.
It's just now, you know, we got a job with the state of Maryland, and I was in the private sector for.
Well, that's what amazes me a lot of times because people coming from the private sector and then into public health, which.
It's a lot different.
Yeah, big time.
But this is much more rewarding.
Yeah, I was a hospital nurse for 20-some years. And then I wanted to be a school nurse. So I worked for HCPS. But then when COVID hit, all of my kids were home. And so I got a job as a nurse case manager for HCPS. And then, but I was helping out with COVID. And so when COVID ended, I didn't have a job for a month. And I didn't know what I was going to do, and Harford County Health Department called HCPS to see if there were any nurses interested in taking on a case management position. And so my path here was just really crazy, and I
just worked out.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
Wow.
Because I wasn't sure what we were going to do with COVID and my kids home, and what. So it was really weird.
Interesting. See, I don't think that's weird. I think that's pretty cool, though, because, you know, we've talked about this a lot. A lot of people don't realize everything that goes into the public health field. And, you know, a lot of times when people go to school, whether it be for a doctor, nursing, or whatever, they want to get into the private sector.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah. But then I think it was Rhonda that mentioned she went to a lecture on public health, and that's what changed her mind. And it seems like a lot of the people I talk to, once they learn more about it, it's like this, it pulls them right in.
Yeah. And you do learn about it. And plus I was a supervisor of an ambulatory surgical center, and working there for as long as I did, seeing what happens, especially when Medicare changed and insurances change and how people are living on fixed incomes and how expensive it can be. It's important that we can help people, whether it's, young people or the elderly or anyone in between.
Yeah.
Health insurance is expensive. And a lot of times, if it is affordable, your deductibles and copays are so high. I mean, if you have a $5,000 deductible, you might not reach that every year. You may not. I mean, especially if you're healthy, then you're not going to reach it. So if you do need a procedure or something, that's a lot of money out of pocket. And unfortunately, you can get paid plans, but sometimes you can't afford, you know, maybe you don't have an extra $300. Mm-hmm. You just may not.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
Still. Well, I mean, now gas is what? Almost
back up to $4.
$4 a gallon. That's expensive.
I went to the store the other day. It was a family size. I should have mentioned this because I'm going to get yelled at. But a family size box of macaroni and cheese was $8.99.
What?
That's the price of.
What's going on with macaroni and cheese? I'm glad you said that. It is so expensive.
It is. It's not.
My gosh. It really is. It's outrageous. And every time you go to the grocery store, it's
so expensive.
It's now double what it used to be.
Yeah.
So things are expensive. Things have been hard since COVID. And there are tons of programs that the Harford County Health Department offers. There's a lot. So, you know, and honestly, worst case scenario, you make too much money and don't qualify.
Right.
And if that's the case, we can try and help you figure out something else.
And you can get in our drawing and get free socks.
Yes, you can. That are for colorectal cancer awareness.
And you can advertise for us.
They are.
If they're very qualified, somebody might see your socks walking around and we can help them.
It's very
cute. They might ask you about colorectal cancer and you might save someone's life.
I need those socks to wear when I'm grilling every once a month now.
Flip-flops. Socks, flip-flops, and your shorts. That's perfect. You just are a walking billboard.
You are.
Okay, on that note, what's the website now that they contact you again?
The website is HarfordCountyHealth.com.
Phone number for here?
410-942-7930.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
I can't get that vision out of my head now, the socks and flip-flops. I'm sorry.
I am.
I want to thank my guests for coming on this episode, but I really want to thank you for listening. And I would really appreciate it if you left a review about the show or about this episode. And you can actually do that right from the website. Go to conversationswithrichbennett.com. You can leave a comment about this episode. You can leave a review for the podcast in general. Another thing I would love for you to do, of course, follow us on social media. But send me a voicemail. If there is somebody you want me to get on the show, if you want to come on the show, if there is something you would like for us to discuss, send a voicemail or send an email. If you send a voicemail, if you want, I can actually play it back on a show too. So just saying. But no, seriously, I want to thank you for listening, because if it wasn't for you, the podcast wouldn't be as successful as it is. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much.